Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
50-50, honoring 50 years of Title IX and the women moving the world forward.
The growth of women's sports, especially softball, is the opportunity for young girls to be able to see what a strong, confident, kick-butt woman looks like at the next level. For them to be able to turn on the television now and see themselves. The fact that I had the opportunity to be able to not only play sports, to get an education, but then that catapulted me for the rest of my life and career. It's now time for us to continue with Title IX to pay that forward for all women's sports.
Indeed, and speaking of that, Women's College World Series starts this afternoon in Oklahoma City. For the 31st year, we're going to have the first two games on ESPN in the app at noon Eastern. Texas squares off against fifth-seeded UCLA, and then ninth-seeded Northwestern takes on the number one seed, Oklahoma. Well, welcome back to Get Up, coming to you live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. And what a crew we got with us today. J.J. Redick, Diana Russini, Brooke Pryor making her premiere at the Seaport. How about that? Love that. Ready to talk some basketball and some football, but first, let's get to the game of the night. And this one was a good one. Game one, Eastern Conference Finals, Rangers hosting the Lightning. And boy, a little into a minute into this one, the Rangers got going. Mika Zibanejad wins the race for the puck, passes to Chris Kreider, who scores. Great pass, great finish there. Rangers take an early 1-0 lead. Then in the second, Rangers up 3-2. Keandre Miller flips the pass to Philip Hietl for the goal. Philip Hietl, second goal of the game. Rangers take a 4-2 lead. Then Andrew Kopp threading the needle there to Artemi Panarin, the bread man, scoring. What a beauty. Rangers running away with this one as they lead 5-2. Later in the third, same score. Rangers, Panarin, Zibanejad, nailing the one-timer. The laser as he scores top shelf. The Rangers look at dominant in game one to take the 1-0 series lead. And on to the NBA Finals. Finally, it's beginning, so let's do a little prop betting, shall we? Overs, unders, game one tonight. JJ, I'll start with you. Over, under, Klay Thompson, 3.5 threes.
I'm sticking with the unders on all these. I'm sticking with the unders. I think he gets close to it. I like Klay Thompson hitting three threes tonight, but he's not getting four.
No? Oh, come on.
Not three and a half.
Okay, Vince Carter with us. Over, under, Draymond Green, 1.5 steals.
I say over. I think he's going to get two steals, actually, you know. So, hey, that half matters.
And then Mr.
That's why they set it at a half, Vince, because yeah. It makes you think about it.
Exactly.
And then Mr. Under over
right.
here.
Exactly.
Over, under, Steph Curry, 27.5 points.
I'm going under. Okay. I'm going under. I think Steph has a good night tonight. He's going to make some threes. I think he ends up with 26 or 27.
26 or 27? Why don't you see him going off for 30-35? Proving a point, saying this is – We're taking this
When I think about this game, look, game one is always – you're always feeling teams out a little bit, and you're getting a sense of the rhythm and the cadence of the series. But I do think tonight's going to be one of those 94-89 games. And I – look,
okay.
I've been wrong before, Vince. I've been wrong before, but I do think this is going to be a lower-scoring game. I've been wrong before. Like once.
Okay, but JJ, I somewhat agree with you. I think they're going to be in low hundreds, though, because it's going to be a defensive game. And, you know, obviously the defenses are predicated on stopping Tatum and Curry and look for some other guys to have big nights as well. So that's going to bring those numbers down. So I'm with you, JJ.
Okay, top two teams in defensive efficiency, so it makes sense. But let's talk about Curry, because if he's only scoring 26-27, and I can't even believe I'm saying only, but still, if he's scoring that much, it may seem to reason that somebody else steps up and has a 30-point game. So can the Warriors win if he isn't the leading scorer?
They can, because their defense is so good. And we talked in the opening hour about both of these defense being the top two defense in the league. What Steph does besides score is he opens up things for his teammate. One of the things that's going to be interesting in this series, when they go to pick and roll, those Celtics don't have weak defenders. They don't have to trap like the Mavs did, like the Nuggets did. So all of that four-on-three action on the backside that opens things up for Klay and Wiggins and Draymond Green, that's not going to be there as much in this series like it was in prior series in this year's playoff run.
Ooh, that's going to be good to look for everybody on defense. Vince, weigh in on this one. If Curry isn't going for 30 or going for 35 or something like that, how does that end up playing out?
The beautiful thing about the Golden State Warriors, they have another guy on there that is very capable of hitting 30 and maybe 60 points in a game in Klay Thompson with his ability to shoot the ball. So, you know, that is a luxury that the Golden State Warriors have. And they spread the wealth. I mean, you can get some let's not forget to mention Jordan Poole as well, who's very capable of going off having a big night as well. So they have other guys that are very capable and dynamic scorers if Steph Curry is not having the 30-point or 27.5-point night that we said he won't get.
Vince, I talk about this all the time, and that's just Draymond Green's importance to the Golden State Warriors offense. So he's not the guy that's going to give you 30
Absolutely.
In a game. But his pace, the way he swings the ball, a simple swing pass, his DHOs going to dribble handoff side to side after a defensive rebound, after a steal, creating pace, creating transition threes. You are not going to score efficiently if in the half court you are staring down this Boston Celtics defense. You've got to move them side to side, and Draymond is the catalyst and the fulcrum for that in the half court.
Go ahead, Vince.
And JJ, I want to add to that. I want to add to that is when Draymond Green gets the rebound and just blasts it out and starts to break, that's when they're at their best as well. It reminds me of Al Horford when he played for the Hawks. That used to cause problems because your big is trying to rebound, and now it's on your point guard to stop the ball when it's a big, and he's not now getting to the shooters, which now your center, your five-man, yes, Robert Williams is very athletic and agile, can get up and down the court, but he's going to be late to the party, and that's opening up shots. So when Draymond is getting the rebound, blasting it out, like you say, dribble handoffs, or pass aheads and all of these things, and he screens with pace. It's not like he's taking his time. He screens with pace, which allows Steph that little window, or Klay, that little window they need to get shots off.
I love that you guys are talking about this, because people tonight watching are going to be looking for all the little things that Draymond Green is doing to help this team win. Now, the other side of this is the Celtics. And you look at Jason Tatum. Tonight's his first NBA Finals appearance in his career. Tatum's coming off winning that inaugural Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals MVP, that 26-point performance to lead his Celtics past the Heat in Game 7. But, JJ, I think people still have a lot of concerns with Jason Tatum late in games. And a lot of people highlighted Marcus Smart taking the final five shots, which seemed really odd considering that the superstar on this team is Jason Tatum. There's the shot chart. Final 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, the entire postseason, Smart has more. Can the Celtics win without Tatum having the ball in his hands late in these games and succeeding?
Well, it's not just shooting the basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to face multiple defenders, mm-hmm. and whether that's as a straight trap or a defender in the gap, so he's going to have to make the right play over and over again. And in the aggregate, he's been really good in the final 3 minutes during this playoffs. In the Miami series, he struggled a little bit. He was 1-for-5. The biggest thing with him is taking care of the basketball, and it goes the same way for Jaylen Brown. Mm-hmm. When the Celtics struggles, those guys have high turnover games. Their defense is good enough to withstand off shooting nights. No defense is good enough to withstand high turnover nights.
So even if he's not hitting a lot of shots late game, as long as he's not turning it over, you think they have a good chance?
They have a good chance. He's got to hit shots late game. He's got to take shots late game. He's got to create for other people. He's got to be the best player on the floor for the Celtics for them to win this series. There's no question.
And so, Vince, what do you think they need from Tatum from your perspective late in games? Go ahead.
An aggressive mentality late game, and that's just what it is. I think when he's aggressive, he's in the mindset of, I'm going to get downhill to get the best possible shot for myself or someone else. When he's a little passive, you see in those trapping situations, he was standing straight up. When you're standing straight up, I mean, that's when you get your turnovers. JJ, you remember this, Coach Stan Van Gundy used to yell at us all the time, is don't stand straight up in double teams. You want to be in a three-point stance or in a, you know, basketball stance and getting rid of the ball. You're laughing because you know I'm right, JJ.
Well, that's why you're laughing, because you're bringing up PTSD for me. You're laughing. I mean, No one has ever yelled at me more than Stan Van Gundy.
Exactly. So,
thank you for that.
Good Stan Van Gundy.
A flood of memories, a flood of emotions. Thank you for that, Vince.
I love the mere thought of Van Gundy yelling at you guys.
Oh, I mean, but he yells at everybody.
Yeah, I was there's right no, there with I mean, him.
It wasn't just, I wasn't the only
target.
There
was nobody singled out.
Even you guys.
We were all singled out. You know, it just didn't matter.
So, guys, bringing this back then, as we look at this, when you look at Jason Tatum, you're talking about cutting the turnovers. You're talking about being aggressive. But, JJ, if Jason Tatum comes in this game and starts passing up shots late game, and again, I know it's to try to move the ball around, find the best shot. Is that what you want to see from him if the game is on the line and it's tight? Or do you want to see him saying, I'm taking over?
I know it's not zero sum, but Vince said the word aggressive, and what that means is reading and thinking the game. No player has done that better in this generation than LeBron James. And LeBron always makes the right play. Sometimes that's a step back three. Sometimes that's getting in the paint. Sometimes that's reading the double team and making the quick pass, which creates that downhill effect and leads to an open shot. So as much as it is aggressiveness, it's also reading and thinking the game. When he gets in trouble is when he puts his head down and gets in the paint with multiple defenders and no real plan. So it's got to be thinking prior
and
to actually
the issue.
Making the move. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so if you're doing that, if you're taking over, you got to have a plan and you got to make the right play. Always critical. All right, coming up, Aaron Rodgers sank a match-winning birdie and then dropped a line about his future that shocked just about everybody. We're going to play it for you next. Plus, Steph Curry, one title away from matching LeBron James. So what would a fourth title mean for his legacy? That and a lot more coming up on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up. We love ourselves some football. But how about football players playing golf? Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers taking on Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen in the match, old versus young. And it turned out to be pretty good. Early on in the match, Brady and Rodgers two up. Rodgers with the chip shot on the third hole. Look at him pushing it close to the hole, but just missing it. Take a listen to Josh Allen's reaction.
Third. This guy's pretty good at golf. That's what happens when you don't go to OTAs. You just play golf all day.
That's bad.
Oh, I like it. That's good trash talk. Brady and Rodgers would lose the hole. Now just one up, two, three. So over to the final hole. Match all square. Rodgers. The nice tee shot, right? Landing on the green, position for the win. And here it is, for the win, Aaron Rodgers delivers the clutch putt. Huge fist pump from him. Rodgers, Brady, old beating young, taking down Mahomes and Allen to win the match. So after the match, Aaron Rodgers was asked about his football future. Take a listen to what he had to say.
Oh, I think about it all the time. I mean, I resonate with what Tom said about the mindset of 55, 45. You know, when you commit, you're 100%. But the older you get, you know, the interests change and the grind, I think, wears on you a little bit more. And the football part's the easy part. That's the joy. It's the other stuff that wears on you and makes you think about life after football. Tommy obviously set the bar so high with playing so many years, but I can definitely see the end coming.
Wow. Now, look, I'm willing to allow for the fact that he's trolling us all, but I don't care because this is incredible. He's talking about the end is near. You know, Green Bay Packer fans are listening and saying, Brooke Pryor, oh, my goodness, what am I hearing? What are you hearing?
I'm hearing the same thing that we heard a year ago. I feel like it's the same thing, just different words. Last year was a beautiful mystery. This year it's the end is near. When is it near? Is it like near this year, next year, the year after? Did you just play golf and think, wow, this is really nice. I could do this for the rest of my life. I feel like Aaron Rodgers likes it to be all about him in some kind of drama in the offseason. Here we are, June 2nd. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers. We're talking about his future. This was supposed to be drama-free. He's coming back to Green Bay, and here we are. He has started the news cycle all about himself again and his timeline. I'm not surprised.
This is the hard thing for me when I hear this. I'm like, oh my gosh, drama king, constantly. We're on the show all the time talking about Aaron Rodgers, whether it's his contract, whether he's unhappy with the receivers on his team, whatever it is. And it's so hard to criticize him because I start thinking to myself, yeah, he's drama, but he's so darn good.
Mm-hmm.
He is so good. I'm looking at all those quarterbacks sitting there and they're all great. They are. But I would still take Aaron Rodgers. Of the four of those guys sitting there, I would take Aaron Rodgers right now if I wanted to go win a Super Bowl. Talking Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
You take him over all of them.
I'm taking Aaron Rodgers right there.
Wow.
Over Tom Brady. I'm sorry, I can't believe I'm doing this again. I'm going to become a meme. But he makes average players great. He comes with a lot, and I think we can all agree. And I think he probably knows that. And look, we're going to probably now talk about whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to retire over the next 3-4 seasons, maybe even next year, if that's something that he says he wants to do. But he makes a really good point about the grind that comes with being the face of a franchise and being a quarterback.
Ninko, you played a number of years. You were in the position of retiring at one point. You were a primary guy in the Patriots. He talked about the grind. He actually says here the other stuff that wears on you and makes you think about life after football. How does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, look, when you commit to a football season, you're committing to, you know, time away from your family, your friends, and everything else that you are committing to winning a championship. And that's every football player's goal. At the end of the year, you want to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. You want to be a champion. And when you're the quarterback, when you're Aaron Rodgers, not only do you have that franchise pressure, you have the career pressure. Everyone's looking at you to be the best, to be the leader, to win another one. And that pressure is, it's like a pressure cooker. It's building, it's building, it's building. So I understand the mental side of that pressure. I do. I've been there. And as a linebacker, I didn't want to play to 33. You know, I retired at 32. So, you know, there's only one guy that wants to play to 45. That's Tom Brady. A lot of guys, they're looking at their careers. They're looking at what they're going to do after their careers are over because you're young. When you retire from the NFL, you are a young person in this world. So I think that, I mean, he's just being honest. He's saying, listen, I'm year to year. I got a lot of pressure. And I believe that from here on out, Aaron Rodgers is probably looking at every season and deciding, is it worth it for me to put myself out there at risk? Because number one, you're risking your long-term health to play football. They're not playing two-hand touch out there. So look, he's committing to it this season, but I really don't think we're going to see Aaron Rodgers playing to his mid-40s.
All right. So, look, that's Aaron Rodgers. I want to keep it on the quarterback discussion because we're going to go from Green Bay to Cleveland, where the Browns have uncertainty at the quarterback position with training camp fast approaching. Deshaun Watson's legal situation remains unresolved, while the estranged Baker Mayfield is still under contract with the team. Now, this was interesting. Browns coach Kevin Stefanski was asked about potentially needing Baker Mayfield if Watson is suspended for his situation. And he repeated, with all those situations, it's taking info day by day. Now, the reason why I'm interested in this is because Baker Mayfield is on this team. And he has proven that he could lead this team. I know he's got his flaws, but Brooke Pryor, you actually covered him when you worked in Oklahoma. You covered the team. You know this guy, Baker Mayfield. I wonder if you look at him and you say, what is his future with this team if, in fact, they don't have a quarterback? Could you see him saying, or the Browns saying, come on back, and him saying yes?
You know, nobody thrives on revenge better than Baker Mayfield. To me, that is the hallmark of who he is as a quarterback. This is a guy who when he gets really angry and just ticked off at something, he goes out and he performs. Now, he may not be a top five quarterback in the league by any means, but I think that he has a future in the NFL. And I think, honestly, for him, I mean, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Clearly, there's no love lost between him and the Browns. What better way to make yourself relevant again than if there's a suspension with Deshaun Watson, Baker Mayfield come in there, win 5-6 games? All of a sudden, he's a lot more in demand. He makes himself relevant. He's really good when he bets on himself.
Wow, and I know he said, look, he's sent all the signals. It's done, but what an impact that would have the rest of the NFL. Now, set the scene for us. What's the timeline here for Baker?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, the Browns will start minicamp on June 14th, and is he going to show up? Because if he doesn't, he gets fined. And we, you know, speaking of Deshaun, we saw with the Houston Texans when they were dealing with him, they came to an agreement pretty much under the table, like, look, we're not going to fine you. Don't show up. You can come to the facility. You can work out. But we're not going to punish you if you're not here. Obviously, we don't want you around right now as they're investigating. So here, you know, I'm not sure what the Browns are going to do just yet.
Right.
But Baker Mayfield, if he doesn't want to be fined, will have to show up. And I think that's going to be really interesting to watch.
It makes it very interesting. And you know what? I actually look at this and I take it away from the Browns for a second and maybe put it on Baker. If I was his agent, I'd maybe send him away on a yacht, get him nice and relaxed, bring him back, and then say, Baker, look, you can prove to the entire league that not only are you an elite quarterback because you've led this team to wins, but also that you are a character guy who says, you know what? Even though I'm mad and they didn't treat me right, I am showing that I'm above that, and that's what I'll do for you, Carolina or Seattle.
Yeah.
Ninko, as you look at Baker, should he show up and prove himself for the Browns?
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, if this was – listen, the Cleveland Browns went out and guaranteed the most money ever to another quarterback that didn't play the previous year. So the reason why Baker Mayfield isn't the starting quarterback in Cleveland is – Baker Mayfield. He had the opportunity. He was the number one overall pick. They gave him the keys. His issue was standing in the pocket on third and 10 plus and throwing the football down the field accurately. I mean, it's plain and simple. It's the reason why they went out and did this was because of the performance. And the team that they had built around Baker is one of the best rosters in the NFL. So Baker just has to look in the mirror and say, I didn't play to the standards that I was supposed to play to, or else I would still be the starting quarterback here. And the amount of money that he has due this year is kind of making it impossible for him to stay there, especially with the relationship there. It's a strained relationship. So to me, if he is the quarterback there, I think it's a lose-lose situation for him and the organization.
Wow. Lose-lose.
I do think that the contract is interesting, right? We know that the Cleveland Browns, they don't want to pay that guaranteed money that's close to around $19 million. They want a team to take that on if they were to trade for him. But I think if we're going to see Baker Mayfield play football again, I think it would be, and I hate talking about injury, but I think it would be come training camp if we saw a starting quarterback go down or even perhaps a backup quarterback was injured or a team in need. But I think for now, it's going to be in this space with, I think the Browns are going to most likely probably say, hey, don't show up. You're good. We won't fine you. And then we'll see Baker pop up in the
summer. Then bringing it back to Baker again, they say that to you. Brooke, this is a guy who his leverage is at an all-time low. People are making all these assumptions about his character. From what you know of him, could he be that guy who's like, you know what? You tell me to stay home. No, I'm willing to sit here and do whatever you need.
I think so. I mean, he's the guy that does exactly sometimes the opposite of what you want him to do.
Yeah.
I think about the sideline at KU when he was a little bit obscene, but he gets so emotional. And as a coach, you're like, oh my God, can you please tone it down? But at the same time, this guy can be a culture changer. You look at what he did in Cleveland. They beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs in Pittsburgh. And no, that wasn't all Baker Mayfield. He didn't do it all by himself. But I think that this is a guy who, he obviously, like Ninko said, he needs to get better on some football things. He is not a polished guy by any means. But because of the culture and the character that he has, he likes to prove people wrong. He wants to come in there and he wants to do it. And I look at a place like Carolina. Think of the swagger he could bring to the Panthers after what he did for
right.
the
Oh, man, that would change
that you
the game.
Growth, too.
I got to leave it right there because I got to get to this. But I'll tell you, what an interesting discussion. Well, coming up, Steph Curry, one title away from matching LeBron James. Just what would a fourth championship mean for his legacy? We're talking NBA Finals on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Tonight on SportsCenter at 6 Eastern, Kevin Enell takes SportsCenter on the road for the NBA Finals as the Celtics pursue their record 18th world title and the Warriors look to cement their status as a modern-day dynasty. We'll be there live to break down every legacy-defining performance and series-changing storyline from Game 1 until a champion is crowned. SportsCenter, tonight at 6 Eastern on ESPN.
Speaking of those NBA finals, the NBA's had its fair share of dynasties. Magic Johnson's Lakers, Larry Bird's Celtics dynasties. Went head-to-head in the 80s. Magic won 5, beating the Celtics once. Then, well, Larry got 3, beating the Lakers once. Then we go to the 90s. It's all about Jordan and the Bulls. They beat Magic Johnson's Lakers for their first title. They would go on to win 6 over the next 8 seasons. The next dynasty didn't have to wait long to materialize. Kobe and Shaq. Remember them? Teaming up for a three-peat. Then Shaq was eventually traded to the Heat. The Lakers would win 2 more with Kobe a few years later. And the reason we're talking about this, well, it brings us to the Warriors dynasty. And are they in this discussion? Well, since their first title season in 2013-14, they've made the finals 6 times. They've won 3 of them. They've had a win percentage of 68% overall, all games. And they won NBA record 73 games in 2015-2016 and have collected hardware like MVPs, Defensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year. They won it all. So, guys, let's bring y'all back and talk about this. Curry, we'll start with him, right? 4 wins away from winning his 4th ring. So, JJ, if Curry wins another title, where is his place among the all-time greats?
I really believe he's already a top 10 to 12 player. And I have a list in my hand right here,
which is an incredible 12,
my 12 greatest players of all time. I think if he wins, he cements himself as a top 10 player. And then you have to have a really interesting discussion about who moves outside the top 10. And maybe that's a discussion for another day after he wins a championship.
Yeah, that would be key. Vince, what do you think about that? Where is his legacy if he wins a title?
You know, I went to Carolina, and of course, JJ went to Duke, and this is showing that we can agree and work together, because I agree with agree with what he's saying about Steph, and I do. I mean, I think he's spot on. I think he's solidified himself. He's earned the right to be considered in the top 10 to 12 players, like JJ is saying, and winning this championship only grows the legend of Steph Curry. So I just want to see where he ends up when he finishes, because, you know, they deserve that as well as the great superstars they are. Where do they finish when it's all said and done? Not where he is right now.
By the way, I wish I could put his list up because we were looking at it on the break. His bubble players are like Durant, Hakeem. I mean, it's incredible. Steph would rise to that level?
Yeah.
Is Steph what?
Well, Steph would rise to that level?
Yes. I do think the 4th championship, assuming they win, he probably ends up getting the finals MVP. That sort of elevates him a little bit. The one thing with Steph, and we brought this up last hour, the one thing with Steph is the longevity. His run right now, in terms of being an elite player and a top 5 player year to year in the NBA, has really been an 8-year run, whereas LeBron, a number of other players in that top 10, had a longer run in terms of being an elite player.
Vince, do you think that Steph...
JJ, 8 years is pretty darn good, man.
I'm not saying it's bad. Like, again, what we're talking about calling him a top 10 to 12 player. Like, I'm not hating on Steph Curry here.
Can I tell you that's the hard part about this discussion? We're talking about extreme excellence versus excellence.
Yeah,
But Vince, I look at Steph and I think sometimes because he plays on such a great team and they have such a great system that we don't always recognize how gifted he is.
Absolutely. This is a megastar who is willing to defer for the betterment of their team and to make sure that their team they're winning games. It is not about Steph Curry and his average. It's about the hardware. It's about, you know, building a legacy. And he's doing it a different way. Like I said, I was in a superstar position where, you know, late game, I needed the ball in my hand because I knew that's when I was effective. Steph Curry, late game, he's effective just because of who he is and how he plays the game. And Steph right now is in a situation where if he does not win, he still is considered the top 10, 12 players in the world. If he continues to win, he just moves up that ladder and it opens up another door, an elite door that not a lot of people even know about because they don't reach that status.
So I'll give you the last word. Go ahead.
Well, I just was going to add on to your point about the Warrior system. My favorite quote about the Warrior system is that Steph is the system. And that really is the truth. Mm. The orbit of that system is around him. He is the center of that universe.
I like how you put it. He's the sun, and it revolves mm-hmm. around him. And Draymond Green, by the way, spoke to ESPN about this system and this team and why he always believed this Warriors team would return to the finals. He says this, because nobody had beat us. No one has ever beaten us whole, ever. Has not happened yet. In 2016, I got suspended from a game in the finals. In 2019, Durant goes down in the finals. But then you follow that over to Cleveland, no one has ever beat us whole. The key word is whole. Do you agree with him?
Oh, no, he's speaking facts here, but I mean, on the flip side of that, the 2015 Cavs were not whole. They were missing Kyrie Irving. They were missing Kevin Love. And they gave that Warriors team a really tough test in that finals. It probably went longer than most people expected. But look, we talk about this all the time. You could put an asterisk next to almost every championship over the last 7 or 8 years. Like, there has been injuries. There, even in earlier rounds, going back to last year, you could say, well, maybe the Nets win if James Harden doesn't have a hamstring injury and Kyrie Irving doesn't sprain his ankle, right? We can do this exercise every year. Is he wrong in what he's saying? No, he's not wrong. But let's talk about the 2015 Cavs, too. Let's acknowledge that.
That's a good point. Vince, what do you think?
No, JJ is spot on with that as well. I mean, this is Draymond looking out for his guy. This is Draymond making sure we understand the narrative of they're at their hole right now. You look in their practice facility, everybody's back. They're ready to defend and get back into the championship circle. So this is Draymond just making sure he's like, no, the narrative is going to be the Golden State Warriors are champions, not about the Boston Celtics. This is what he's doing, and he should do that.
Yeah, and I also think, VC, that it's like he just thinks that maybe they're underrated or maybe they're not getting the respect they deserve. Do you find that with this Warriors team? I mean, look, we all think they're great, but I think it's like there's always this little sense of like, well, 3 and 6 years, which is incredible by anybody's stretch. Trust me, I'm from Philly. We're not doing that. What do you think about maybe we're underrating this team a little bit?
I mean, that's why he's doing this, in my opinion. I think he's just letting us know, don't sleep on us. We're very capable, and I think they're capable. They've proven that. You know, you look at the injuries and some of the key pieces, and you just wonder, and then you get back, and you know, Stephen A. has said it, like, Klay comes back somewhat healthy, look out for this team, and it was kind of still of a question, like, I don't know, let's see. Now we're seeing it, and now Draymond's like, no, believe it now. They're going to believe it. So they understand they're 4 games away, and they don't want to have any slippage mentally because they've had that moment before where they were up 3-1 and lost, and now people are saying Boston Celtics. You look at the BPI saying Boston Celtics by a landslide, and he's just letting us know, don't forget about us because we're very capable.
Just for clarification, Ryan, it's 3 championships in 5 years. The 6th one hasn't played out. So I just want to clarify that. They are 3-2 and not 3-3. We don't know the result of that 6th finals
Look at
appearance.
Me. Look at what I'm doing. And I'm betting on the Warriors. Yeah, I'm taking the Warriors, but go ahead.
But, I just want to just comment on Draymond Green, you know, his comments and just his personality as a whole. Like, he represents sort of the heart and soul of this Warriors team. He has to have that chip on his shoulder. The public comments that he makes, whether it's on a podcast, whether it's in a press conference, whether it's post-game with the TNT guys, like, this is who he is. It's a reflection of who he is as a person, and it's a reflection of who he is as a player. And the Warriors have taken on that mentality that he has.
Yeah, it makes him the lifeblood of this team, which is one of the things that makes this team so great. Well, coming up, Curry's quest again for that 4th title starts tonight. But does Boston have the ultimate Steph stopper? Jalen Rose is going to stop by and answer that question. But first, we got a little sneaky hembo time, and this one's for Jalen. The first NBA Finals, okay, was played in 1947. Which team won it? I mean, who is going to – how can you even get that, Jalen? Oh, but it's Jalen Rose. What am I talking about? Of course he can get it.
1947?
1947, man. That's what we're doing.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you on Get Up and a little sneaky hembo time for Jalen Rose. Okay, the first NBA Finals was played in 1947. Jalen, which team won it?
So you ready for this? I'm currently in the Bay Area. I was at the Chase Center yesterday, and I heard you guys talking about all-time great players. So I'm about to tie two things together. The only guy who, by the way, is ahead of Steph Curry on the top 10 list, Wilt Chamberlain, has his number retired for three different teams. Two of them are Philadelphia and the Warriors. Just so you know, Hembo, you learned that in the basics. Now, if you ask me the second champion, I would not know. So Philadelphia Warriors is the answer.
And you are right. Oh! What I love is not only did he get it, look at Hembo, no way. Not only did he get it right, but he owned it by dissecting it scientifically. Ah!
You're the MVP of the show. And you just came by. Unbelievable. All right, man. Good one. And I didn't even know that. All right, over under. Let's play a little game of prop bets with Jalen. Game one tonight. Jalen, over or under. Jason Tatum, 28.5 points.
I think he has a terrific series. In the previous one, they basically won each time he scored at least 29, which means if I take the over, I think they're going to win game one. I'm taking the under. Because I believe the Golden State Warriors win game one.
Okay. All right. So over or under Draymond Green, 0.5 blocks.
So this is easy. This is over. And as a matter of fact, when you win your money in the first half, bet on it again. Because I feel like he's going to have at least 2 blocks in this game. He's going to have so many opportunities to change shots, contest shots, to play against perimeter players and interior players. He goes over.
Okay. All right. Over or under Steph Curry, 27.5 points.
So everybody understands the assignment going into these finals. Steph Curry plays like the finals MVP, and the voters actually choose him to be. So it starts tonight. He goes over. And the thing about that number is Steph Curry's going to get 30. Like, did you guys see Luka last series against the Warriors? I believe Steph Curry understands the assignment against the Celtics. Everybody else may not be able to get off consistently, but he will.
Okay. All right. JJ had him coming in a little under, but it's like you're saying he's going to make a statement coming right out of the gate. So, overall, you say 30. What else are you looking to see from Steph tonight?
Aggression. And the one thing, Ryan, about these Golden State Warriors, as everybody knows, their playoff pedigree, their championship pedigree, and the elephant in the room, you guys were just talking about it coming into this segment. Steph understands the all-time greatness of the NBA. He's the son of a gun, literally. Dale Curry, his brother's in the league. We get a chance to see him be a father, a husband, a son, a brother, and now a finals MVP. I believe Steph Curry starts out sending a message to the Boston Celtics, to Marcus Smart, that he's unguardable. And some of the shots that he normally passes up and the matchups that he normally turns down, I think his attempts are gonna be up, his aggression will be high, so therefore he gets me that 30 that I'm talking about.
So that's a great point, but you bring up Marcus Smart. I mean, you're talking the defensive player of the year. What do you make of that matchup? If you think Curry's coming out aggressive, how's Smart going to combat that?
Screen, pick, that's all. It ain't that hard. Hey, somebody come pick, get him off of me. And then all of a sudden, you're guarded by Al Horford. You're guarded by Robert Williams III. You're guarded by Grant Williams. Remember who initiates offense for the Golden State Warriors? It is Steph Curry, but it's actually Draymond Green who leads them in assists constantly because Steph is at his apex on catch and shoots, off down screens, off baseline screens, off reverse actions. The reason why Steph is special is that he could get it off the dribble with the best of them, but he also can do it off the catch with the best of them. And in a lot of that actions, he's going to be so far away from the basket, it's going to force the Celtics to do a ton of switching because they do more switching than anybody basically anyway.
Okay, so you're not worried about that switching then taking Steph off his game? Because obviously we know he moves so well without the ball. But at the same time, this Celtics defense does so well on switches.
The pressure's off. Think about what Steph has the chance to do. Think about what these Warriors have a chance to do. They've had a chance to see Steph win two MVPs, one unanimous, a championship before KD. Two with KD, and now they're back in the finals without him? You already saw Draymond nudge Steph when he said that he got double-teamed seven times more than KD. He's basically saying, we don't have KD now, so it's your show to go ahead and be that dude. And that's what I anticipate. Now, we're not going to ignore Klay Thompson. I believe he has his moments in this series where he's terrific, especially if they get to game six. But watch Jordan Poole. He's going to be a game-changing guy because he can get his shots off the dribble, and his buckets are loud, Ryan. It seems like when Jordan Poole scores 10, he already has 20 because he gets a lot of oohs and ahs with him. And so, again, the Warriors, I think, are poised for this moment. They saw the Boston Celtics go into a long series, and I think they have pole position for game one.
Okay, so that's the Warriors side, but I got to ask you about the Celtics. I know yesterday you talked to Jaylen Brown about one of the turning points when Marcus Smart called out the team. Take a listen to this, everybody.
Back in November, I'm watching League Pass. Y'all playing a home game against the Bulls. Y'all got waxed. Marcus Smart, the Defensive Player of the Year, came out and had some comments in the media. How did you guys navigate that at that point of the season?
That was a game we were supposed to win, too. We was up. We ended up losing by like 15. So it was tough. We figured out a way to, we talked it out, and we figured out a way to get on the same page and ended up working out in the long run.
It's an interesting discussion and a great question, too, because he's talking about how they talked it out. And in many ways, it showed me at least that Marcus Smart is one of the leaders of this team. But when we look at this series, we talk about what Jaylen Brown, but especially Jason Tatum needs to do. So how do you see that going into game one?
So that was a maturation moment for these Boston Celtics that they needed to navigate with a first-year head coach at the time in Ime Udoka, who just got the job. So that level of trust had to be paramount at that point of the season for them to carry it to January where the team finally took off. But here's the one thing I want to say. While we talk about the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry, he's a splash brother. Marcus Smart is a crash brother. And so what do I mean by that? They changed the dynamics of their roster at the point guard spot. Normally, when Jaylen Brown got drafted, he played with Isaiah Thomas. He's played with Kyrie Irving at the point, and he's also played with Kemba Walker. All offensive-driven point guards. Marcus Smart is not a shoot-first point guard. He's a terrific defensive player. So now that changes the dynamics of your team and the leader of your defense at the point of attack. You have to do less switching. You have to do less helping. And so now all of a sudden it puts everybody in their space. And then when you talk about leadership, leading the team in assists, leading a team in steals, and challenging his best players offensively, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, to make the play. If that's scoring and being aggressive, do that. If it's making your teammates better and more accountable, do that. And since January 1st, they took off defensively. Since February 1st, they're number one in the league in offensive and defensive rating. And it has a lot to do with the growth of that moment that Jaylen Brown talked about.
So let's talk about Jason Tatum, because you talked about leaving them space to make the play. How are you feeling and how concerned are you about Tatum making the play and taking over down the stretch? Because we've been showing a graphic all day about how Marcus Smart is taking more late game shots than Tatum. And that's been one of the questions. Can he take over or does he need to take over down the stretch?
He will take over. And the function of Marcus Smart taking more shots is really just positioning on the floor and how the defense funnels the ball to a person they want to shoot it late. So being at the game last time and Marcus Smart was 0-for-5 at the end against the Heat, there's something we say in the league, Ryan, he was open for a reason. And so now what the Celtics will do is they'll move Tatum around and put him in position where he can do one or two. Like, they had a great inbounds play, I think you just showed it right there, where they kicked it into Tatum and he did a Mamba move, faked over the shoulder and made a turnaround jumper. So I think that's the growth in his game. Now the defenders for the Golden State Warriors will be Wiggins, will be Kuminga, will be Klay Thompson. They'll do a good job of making Jason Tatum work. But when you're the go-to guy, your move just has to be decisive. You don't get 5 or 6 dribbles to play with it late. You only get 2 or 3. And I think that's something that he's improved at, and I think you'll see that growth in this series.
Giving us all these good nuggets for people to look for tonight in the game, which I can't wait to see. Okay, I know you touched on this earlier in the show, but I want to make sure everybody hears it. Who are you picking tonight, Celtics-Warriors?
Jeez, this is worse than picking my outfit tonight. Got to go get untwisted, get a fresh cut. Jeez. I'll say the Golden State Warriors in 7. Ooh. I think this is going to be a long series. I think it's going to be a competitive series. And this is how you know it's going to be a great series. There's going to be a point in this series where we look at either team and feel like they're done. Like, you know what? I can't believe the Celtics lost like that. I can't believe the Warriors lost by 55 to Memphis without Ja Morant. There's going to be the game we say, oh, man, the Boston Celtics lost by 20 again to the Miami Heat. But ultimately, the length of this series, I think the Golden State Warriors' ability, here's what you want to watch, to make shots late in the shot clock. See, it's one thing to get a bucket early in the clock, but it's another thing when it's like 4-3-2-1 to get a high-quality shot. First, second, third, or fourth quarter, the Warriors are the best at doing so.
Right.
That's why they're my pick.
Oh, man. Okay. Warriors game one, Warriors in the series. Jalen Rose, always great to see you, man. I'll see you soon. NBA Finals, by the
Thanks
way, starting tonight.
You.
Short thing. Started 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific on ABC and ESPN Radio. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the Celtics taking on Steph, Dre, Claymont, and the Warriors. Game one coverage starts with NBA Countdown. Well, First Take, top of the hour, asking just who will have a bigger impact on these finals, Steph or Tatum? Stephen A., Molly, J. Will, J.J. Redick, next. First Take live from outside Pier 17 right here at the Seaport.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Thanks so much for joining us today. First Take starts right now, live at Pier 17.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.